Welcome to the Playful Spirituality Podcast, a place to reconnect to spirit, to reclaim your unbridled wildness, and to bring you home to you. I'm Cara Viana, and I'm honored to be on this adventure with you. This is a place to discover your magic and your superpowers. And yes, you definitely have them. It's designed to tap you into the unconditional love and support flowing to you, and to help you access that wild, unbridled joy that we so often lose touch with. You can expect all sorts of resources, from spiritual and practical tools and teachings to guided meditations and energy healing. We'll have some special guests and even some live readings. This show is for all of us who are humaning, to help you navigate this ride of life. If you are open to a little more support, more ease, a broader connection to the universe and to yourself, then stay tuned and find out what might be possible with an infusion of playful spirituality. All right, everyone, welcome to the show. We've got a special guest for you today. I'm really excited about this conversation. We've been looking forward to having it purely selfishly, so you all get to participate with us. I want to introduce you to my friend Woodrow Petrovic. He is going to tell you a little bit about his background, but first I want to say that I'm infinitely impressed with this human being, and one of my favorite reasons is because of his sense of humor. He's been through many of my programs, and inevitably, there's always the people who, when they pop up on the screen when we're doing a virtual class, I'm happy they're there. And he brings a special flavor to every single class that is like his own version. Let me see if I can put words around how it feels to me. It's like utter, non-judgmental, loving acceptance and joyful, playful, irreverent humor, which for those who know me, you know, that's my flavor. That's my favorite. So as other people in the call might be sharing and getting vulnerable, like he's one of the people who is there right at the front row of their like front edge of their seat, fully, like completely in the non-judgment of like, you got this. And also like they're finding the humor in all of it with me, which always adds so much. So my friend, thank you for that you always bring. You have done a lot of study in energy work and shamanism, and I want you to share a little bit about whatever you're willing to share about who you are and your background so people can get to know you. And then I'm excited to talk energetics in relationship with you.
Well, that was the highest of compliment, that description. Thank you. Goodness. So as far as background energy work, I think kind of woo-woo things we do, I would say it all started back when I was probably about 12 in a martial arts class, and we're moving the ki energy, you know, like chi, you know, different names for the same thing. And we're doing this exercise, it's like a Tai Chi kind of thing, and I pushed and I felt pushed back, and I went, oh, that's weird. And that just kind of got filed away until I was in my, mid-20s or so. And while simultaneously learning physics academically, I started reading some books that kind of were expanding my philosophies. I started spending time with one of my witch friends, and she would do spell work and stuff. And so I started learning that in a little bit, and it was nice, not so much me. And then I went off to grad school for my master's in physics, and my relationship that I ended up in there, she was learning about shamanism on this particular path that she was in. And so I checked it out, and it just kept resonating me. It just found me. It's fantastic. It's a little bit like Reiki, but some pretty intense things, healing work, like, energy work. So I guess that's probably it as far as that sort of thing in a nutshell.
I love it. I'm just sitting here thinking, physicist shaman, like how many of you are there? I bet not a ton, right?
Yeah, it's really interesting, and it definitely informs my classes that I teach, because now I teach physics, but I take special care to talk about, you know, what is and isn't science, and how science works. And so there's the aspect of, you know, things we can objectively measure and test and do, and then there's things you can't measure, and that ends up falling in your personal philosophy, because it's different for everyone, you know, with our unique experiences. But, you know, there's overlap for sure, but I do get frustrated when people try to science things you can't science, or, you know, or just to believe things because that science does, just because they don't like them.
And as everyone who knows me knows, I am not a science person. And so I am someone who has like the utmost admiration for it, because it's a part, it's a thing I don't, like, I don't have that background. But I think it's so cool when I meet someone who has the deep understanding of science, and especially something like physics, and the deep understanding of something like energy work, and is able to truly stand in both worlds, because I can't even imagine how much overlap there must be. To me, it seems like they would be good friends and hold hands, but they're really not in our modern world anyway. So I'm curious what your experience is, if you find for you personally, there being a lot of understanding of both because you have one or the other.
I mean, for me, it's important that they don't contradict, you know, so, you know, if we have evidence of something being scientific, well, then I'm not going to believe in something that is in disagreement with that. In terms of the other direction, science can't really do a whole lot in terms of proving energy work or proving anything, because, you know, for science to do things, you have to be able to measure it. And there's lots of things we believe in that you just can't measure. And so for me, it's just more things on that list that it's not for everyone else. You know, whether it's rightness or wrongness or beauty or, you know, any of those things you can't measure. So it's not a scientific question. But as long as there's no contradiction between the two, I would say is the important thing for me.
I love that. And I think it's pretty cool to think about all of the wide variety of things within this type of energy work that we do and work. And at least I can look at you and be like, well, Woodrow's here, so we must not be totally totally counter to whatever is science right now. So that's kind of cool.
Right. I think the big thing that I was skipping me a minute ago, there's definitely things we see at the very, very, very tiny level, you know, quantum things. And so people will say, well, because this happens at the very tiny level, therefore it happens at the large scale too. And you can't logically make that jump. You're going from A to C, but I think it leaves the door open. And so for me, I'm going to say, yes, I believe that things happen on a large scale, similar to on the quantum realm, but we don't have a way to measure that. And so I wouldn't ever call those things scientific. And I hope we find a way to measure it. But for me, scientifically, the door is open. And I love that. I think that's all anyone can ask.
Which brings us such a sense of open-mindedness. So I think that gives people a great intro to you. So I like that. Thank you for sharing. And I want to talk about relationships, because if I'm being totally honest, we had intention. Certainly I had intention of, this fall, we're going to lead Relationship Alchemy again. And it was kind of sitting out there. And finally you sent me a message and you were like, dude, seriously, when is this happening? Do you have a date? Yeah, but do you have a date? I was like, oh, I got to get off my butt and make this happen. Okay, my friend. All right. So I'm so grateful for that loving like prod, because it got me to get up and realize like, oh no, we're already into September. It's fall. Like, I better make this roll. So you've done Relationship Alchemy. Did you go through it twice?
No, just the one time. Okay. 2020, yes.
Okay. And the way the course is set up, people can, once they've taken the course once, you get access to it whenever I lead it for free. So people get to come back, and it's designed to be this annual reset for your relationship. So I thought it would be pretty fun for us to have a conversation about relationships and about what it is that you look forward to. So I want to know, what have you noticed about beliefs or repetitive patterns impacting dating or relationships?
The way you worded that, that's a whole lot I could say.
Mm-hmm.
I would say both good and not as desired things have been present, inconsistency for me. I personally haven't had a lot of relationships. You know, I've been in relationship probably about 15 or 16% of my whole life. But, you know, I've never really dated anybody that was just awful. And so I don't have an expectation to, you know, connect with somebody that is going to have big, big issues and feel betrayed and whatever things that some people end up dealing with. And that's a good thing. But, you know, I also haven't really had deep connection with almost any in the way that is like, yes, I know this is absolutely where I belong.
Oh, and you said something really good in there I want to hit on in case anybody missed it. You said that you don't have expectation of, and I don't think we understand oftentimes, or maybe we forget just how important our expectation is. If we can be in a place of expecting truly, like honestly, not just faking it, but truly expecting, yeah, people are going to treat me with respect and whatever, or at least not expecting like things are going to be shitty and I'm going to have these terrible relationships. And of course it's our life experience oftentimes, either what we see in other people or what we experience in ourselves that builds the expectations, which is why it can be so hard to shift those. But I really like that you said that the positive side of that recurring thing is that you're attracting like pretty cool people to you, pretty cool people who have like, there's a mutual respect in like these things, and your expectation isn't quite there yet, or you haven't maybe gotten to the place where or met yet the person that takes it all the way up quite to the pinnacle of the peak of what you suspect is available. Did I say that right?
At least pretty close, yeah.
Okay. What do you notice about thoughts and mindset impacting your romantic life?
A lot. So, you know, our childhood often informs our expectations and attitudes for a very long time. And when I was young, it's not that I didn't get along with people, it's just that I didn't fit. You know, nobody disliked me, but they also didn't really like me. I was just kind of there. I was a background character. And that continued in my adult life. I felt like a background character. And so, like, I typically would just be like, well, I have interest in this person. I don't expect them to have any interest in me. I'm just here. And so I think that kind of expectation definitely keeps great people away, or people that would otherwise like me.
Right. Or they may totally like you and you not even notice because your expectation isn't there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've been oblivious. A few years ago, I thought about getting a shirt that just says, "Fort Harder, I just think you're friendly."
Oh, you should definitely do that. Oh my gosh, that is the best invitation for people, especially if you're approaching at all or dealing with women, because we're really, really taught not to come on too strong because that scares people away. That would be a glorious, what's that flag they wave at the beginning of the starting race? That would be a great... I'm imagining like those races where somebody waves the flag and everybody drives. Yeah, that would be a really good thing to get. You should definitely have that shirt made. Amazing conversation starter.
Yeah, I've never been one to do the approaching either. Like, I've done it a few times ever just to like, I'm supposed to do this. You know, I was, as an AMAB person, I'm supposed to be the one to approach. And, you know, a few times it was, you know, still pleasant, but it almost every time failed miserably. And so it's just like, I'm not going to do that.
Oh, I just think that is great. Flirt harder. I just think you're friendly.
Yeah, I mean, that's really been the thing. When somebody's friendly, it's just like, well, they're probably just friendly. I assume that's all they want.
Right, exactly. And it's really the kind of egocentric ones that are like swinging the other direction and assuming that any show of kindness is an invitation for something. When absolutely. No, I was just being polite because you're a human being. That's it.
Right, and I don't ever want to be that person either. And
right, so you couldn't.
It's just safer. Because I don't want to have an awkward situation that messes up somebody else's day, then it's going to ruin mine too. So it's just safer just to, you know, if something happens, okay, but I'm not going to make it happen.
Yes, this is why this shirt, you should get shirts, buttons, like it should be a hat. You could sell these. I really think a lot of people would be into this.
Maybe.
Tell me a little bit about, so we were chatting before this, you were saying how You had pulled out a journal from when we did Relationship Alchemy last, which was 2 years ago. And you were looking through and you were like, man, this is gold. There's some stuff in here that I was creating. And you were talking about being sometimes in the mindset of it and sometimes not in the mindset, like in the space of which, you know, we would sometimes say in manifestation, like allowing or not allowing, allowing or blocking, like the things that I want. But will you talk a little bit about that, about sort of being in the vibe with your desires or being in the doubt or the frustration or whatever we get into as humans also?
Well, I mean, there was a huge difference in kind of how I was showing up, how my mindset was before starting and after we got finished. Because, you know, I did all the homework and, you know, I like the idea of journaling, but usually I just like, I don't know what to write down, but because we had specific assignments, I could focus. And so before Relationship Alchemy, I had been single for about 10 years. And I was kind of to the point where I just felt like I was on the clearance rack, you know? And so I just expected, well, I'm going to be alone. Nobody's going to want me. And I'm just making peace with that. But, you know, again, it's mindset. And so we did the program and all these wonderful things in my journal. And when did we finish? Late October? Within 2 months, at least, of us finishing, I met an amazing person in the weirdest way. And we had a wonderful relationship that lasted about a year and a half. And some of the things that during Relationship Alchemy that I realized, you know, in my past relationships, I haven't had this. Like what the big one was just like, I haven't had anybody that really, really believed in me. People that I felt like tolerated me, but not really believed in me. And so this person I manifested is one of the sweetest, most amazing people I've ever met. She absolutely believed in me and I think still does. And things like that, there were things that I just, this is important to me now and that I've never had. And she had all of those things. And when I read the list of like, what would an ideal partner be like? And I got 3 pages of that. She is so many of those things, and some things didn't line up as well, and we aren't currently together, but you know, I have just so much appreciation for all of those things, and you know, got to experience them for the first time. And I don't think I actually answered the question, but I feel like I answered a question.
yes you did. And I'm just sitting here marveling over, you know, we were talking about expectation and the power of it. And you just said like those magic words, like I hadn't experienced this before and now I have, which means you have a nervous system patterning for this. You know how to expect it. Once we have that, it's so much easier for us to attract it in again when there's something that we have experienced either firsthand or close to us. so much easier for us to create that, to draw it in, to allow it, to receive it when it's normal or usual for us. So that makes me really, really happy for a number of reasons, but that was the one that hit me right there at the end in what you were saying. I think so many people will relate to what you said about feeling like you were on the clearance rack. That's such a good description. And so I was thinking about, all right, as we head into doing this program again in a couple of weeks, my personal, like in my head, intention I'm going to be holding is that at the end of this, you feel like the hot ticket item. Like when you walk into a department store and it's like, I don't know when it was the last time I was in a department store, but you walk in and there's like the thing, and it's like posters and billboards and displays, and it's everywhere. And it's got like whoever the newest celebrity is. I want to say Jessica Simpson, because that's like the last time I was out shopping was she had shit. I don't know. But whoever, it's somebody's face and butt or something right there on all the pictures. Like, I want that to be Woodrow. Like, so that you, like, relationship alchemy wraps and you feel like I'm the hot ticket item. That's me. Like, I don't even know what a clearance rack is anymore, because I'm the thing that this store went out of their way to buy 100 million of, because they know that people are going to pay full price and come to the store specifically because they want Woodrow.
Well, I hope to feel that way after this coming round. I didn't feel that good after the last one, but I was pretty low on the ladder. That would have been too big of a jump in that amount of time, but it was definitely a huge difference. And it is true that I've been pestering you on it. Like last year, I remember going, hey, when's relationship alchemy going to start? Because I was ready to go last year. And and it just, you had too much going on or something. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then this year I'm like, hey.
And I'm so glad you did, because I really needed that little prodding. So tell me about, what are you excited about heading into this round? Because I know what I'm excited about, and mostly it's coming from people like you who are prodding me. And so that makes me really excited about imagining you as the hot ticket item and like what you're going to feel. That's my driver. So what is it that you have as your, what draws you in and makes you excited about it?
I think more than anything, just the clarity that, you know, just being in that kind of mindset on the regular can bring, because I know last time I was a lot more clear than I had been before that. And so that's one of the things I'm really excited for, the clarity. And maybe when I'm done, I will feel like the hot item. And I said something to this, I said something to you like before, that I've done lots and lots of programs and appreciated all of them. Most of them, all of them. And but for me, this one was just the biggest shift, because I've spent plenty of time doing energy work, and if somebody's new to that, I would suggest Master Magic. But I've done enough energy work. What I need help with is the internal world, the mind chatter, and I feel like this has been the most effective program I've done in terms of shifting that. It's really easy for me to fall back in old patterns mentally, but doing relationship alchemy is really, really, really good focus.
Thank you so much. It makes me so happy to hear you say that, and I think that I think it's really good for people to hear too, because we can all relate to that. Like, it's easy to fall back into the old mindset. It's easy to fall back into the old way of thinking. And then I think we're so hard on ourselves. Like, we assume that other people aren't doing that. And no. The vast majority of people out there are in the midst of that in this moment. Like, it takes a lot of effort to actually turn the ship around, and we have to keep doing that on a regular basis. I'm so glad that this helped to do that for you.
Yeah. And I think I should also say that I don't think since finishing Relationship Alchemy in 2020, that I don't think I've fallen back to where I was before that. Like, I've definitely fallen down, but not that far.
Wow. That is maybe the biggest testimonial I can imagine. That really, really hits me, because not only did we move like the high end marker, but we moved the low end marker too. Like we took the floor, this is how low we go, and we moved the floor up. And as someone who's been through having not a floor, right, which is what it feels like to me in severe clinical depression, something that brings the floor up is, that's liquid gold. Things that can get us high, those are the ones that like are my favorite and the most joyful. But if something brings the floor up, like say it, so I'm so happy to hear that. Thank you for saying that. What would you, if you were going to give a piece of advice to someone who was feeling hopeless or frustrated in romance? And I know, of course, relationship alchemy is for everybody. And it's for anybody who's like, you might be feeling euphoric and just wanting more of that. But I'm thinking really like, if you have felt like you were the clearance item person, like if you have felt that feeling before in relationship, for someone who has, what's the advice that you might give them or nugget of wisdom?
I mean, this is going to sound like you're paying me, but I would tell them to take relationship alchemy. it's just, I mean, I think there are lots of wonderful books and things. You know, it just was the best thing for me. And I think, I don't remember all of the things you had us do, but I think the exercises of, you know, writing the things about ourselves and about our ideal partner, I think that was probably the biggest for me in terms of what was helpful, because it focuses on the possibility and not the what is. I think that's what made those so effective, instead of looking at the empty bed.
Yes. Okay, well, let's take just another couple minutes, if you're willing. If there is anything you want to share while we've got this good energy flowing, if you want to funnel it into anything, would you like to tell us about one piece of what it is you'd like to create or manifest or attract? What would you like to have in relationship? What's been like front of your mind or lately you've been thinking this would be good? And feel free to give us as much detail or flesh it out as you want. And we'll be, as you're speaking, we'll all be thinking it, which will be adding to the attraction power of it.
I think the biggest thing is probably to whatever comes next, whatever that looks like, that all of me just feels like, yes, this is where I belong. You know, like there's definitely, this is amazing and I love it here, but I don't know if I belong here. That's a little frustrating for everybody, but just like that inner knowing and that clarity, and just not putting energy anywhere else either, because I think that was another thing before relationship alchemy. You know, you meet people both virtually and in person, and then it's like, oh, maybe this, and there's also these what ifs, and it's just calming that down, just going, I'll know. You know, things will fall in front of my face. And, you know, with this last relationship, and it was wonderful, it fell in front of my face. It was so funny. We did not meet on a dating app. We didn't meet in person. We met playing this stupid computer game that it's adorable. It's, well, for anybody who likes it, it's called Among Us, where you go around and you're trying to figure out who's the imposter. And we met on there of all places. And she ended up living 3 hours away from where I was staying. And it just, the likelihood of that happening was just so bizarre. Like in the how is this going to unfold? I would have never guessed that. It was just so funny. And we got talking on, you know, another program, and eventually we had a Zoom date. You know, it was so adorable.
That is really adorable. And I love it. Okay. Wait, can I prod you one little bit more? Mm-hmm. Will you describe the feeling? Like, I really want to get it here. I want to feel it with you. That feeling of, that knowing you belong. So is it a feeling of immediately seeing a person and going, oh, it's you? and just everything, there's just a surety? And, or is it a feeling of when you're there and you're in it, in the relationship or in the person's presence or in the energy of it, it feels so comfortable and familiar, like your favorite t-shirt you've had for 10 years kind of a feeling? Or maybe it's like the fireworks feeling that's just so big and so obvious. It's like the earth is shaking every time. So you're like, I can't even doubt this because I've never had something this big. So I can't ignore it.
Maybe somewhere in between. I feel like it's relevant to share. I told you that I came to my shamanic practice through my previous relationship, you know, the one 10 years prior. And that was actually in person, and my gut, like I saw her, my gut screamed like pointing at her, which had never happened before. My brain said no, and I walked away. And eventually she approached me because she had a similar kind of experience. And my brain said, well, I don't think this is going to go anywhere, but it's interesting, and I'll be open to the possibility. And then we just kept dating, and at one point I felt like, yeah, this is where I belong. And now I would interpret that to, you know, at the time it absolutely was where I did belong. You know, looking at my list now, I would say, well, there were some things that weren't there. I don't know if they would have ever been there, and I don't think it's beneficial to dwell on that, but I definitely at least at the time, you know, everything my gut said was like here. And then when it ended, I wasn't feeling that anymore, and my my abandonment issues were acting up big time. And so I can see the how that fell apart, you know, intellectually. You know, that relationship taught me so much. That was how I found energy work. That's how I found Abraham. That's how I found so many things, and ended up, you know, interacting with people like you. So it absolutely was meant to be in my life for what it was. To answer the question more directly, my gut was just like, yes, this is where I'm supposed to be. And I was just sure, even though my brain didn't agree, and my gut was like, you're here. And I was okay.
Yes. Okay. I've got it. I know that feeling.
The self-sabotage was strong back then.
I think a lot of us can relate to that for sure.
I mean, it's still there, but I am more aware of its shenanigans.
Right. Yeah. We know how to coddle our self-sabotage and to soothe it much better at this stage, I think, after all this personal development. Woodrow, this has been the most fun conversation. I'm sure everyone can hear the smile in my voice. I am just so grateful. So, so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you. This is a lot of fun.
Thank you all for listening. I hope you'll join us for Relationship Alchemy. I teach this 7-week course live once a year, and enrollment is now open. This is not your average relationship course. This is an opportunity to get into the energetics of your love life and shift things to be the way that you dream of. If you're in a relationship and ready for a reset, ready to fall more in love, ready to call forth all that you desire from this partnership, or if you are single and ready to call in that relationship of your wildest dreams without repeating old patterns or carrying forward old baggage, join us for Relationship Alchemy. You don't have to take my word for it. Here's the way one participant described it. This will help heal your relationship without having to dig up all your shit and therapize your way through. It is soul level healing. All you have to do is show up. So if that sounds good to you, there's a link in the show notes, or just head to the website caraviana.com for the details. With the deepest celebration of you and your capacity to love. We'll see you next week.